Well, hello everyone, hello again and welcome to our talk for this week for Sunday the 18th of July 2021 and our mini service that we're putting together for you as we continue to navigate through these challenging times. A couple of notices for you. Next week, so that's on the 25th of July, we're going to be having a picnic. That's part of saying goodbye to me, so if you can be there, that would be great, but bring your own picnic and we will eat together and we'll say goodbye, and Mike is planning that service, so that will be great. Also, another development or slight change to what we had planned is that we are now going to be continuing to meet in the garden, mainly because of infection rates continuing and government advice that we should remain cautious to a degree outside. We've got all that wonderful airflow. We are subject to the elements, but we've got much less risk, so we're going to continue to do that. It's been a blessing to us. It's been enjoyed, so that will be the case now throughout the summer until the end of August. So the 29th of August will be the last meeting in the garden, with the 5th of September then being in the hall for the first time. That is the plan as it stands. Okay. Now, another matter for us to address this morning, you may have had the reflection that comes out from Lisa. She does one every Wednesday. Well, this week she was talking about the situation in South Africa. You may be aware, or you may not, that there has been very significant unrest and rioting in parts of South Africa. This affects Lisa, her friends and her family, and she's really upset about this situation, as are many people. There are other people in our community from South Africa with family there. I've seen Claire Alsford, who used to fellowship with us and work on our team as well, posting about where her family are. So it's a really serious situation. Before the service that's happening at the same time as you're watching this, there will be also a prayer meeting before the service. So it'll be good for us to take a bit of time and join in with that and stand with Lisa and everyone else in South Africa in prayer. Lisa put some scripture in her reflection, so I'm going to read some of that now. It's from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is from verse 13 down to verse 15. Okay, here we go. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Well, we certainly want to pray that God will heal their land, that there will be peace there. So let's join together now and pray for that. Let's pray. Father God, we are calling on you this morning to move powerfully in the situation in South Africa. Lord, we know that you have moved powerfully in that nation before. We know that huge change has happened over the years, and clearly more change is required. So Lord, we pray deeply and earnestly for that nation. We pray for our friends, for Lisa and for Wayne, for their family, for their friends. Lord, we pray for Claire, Osford and Darren and family and their family in South Africa. And Lord, for everyone else that we know, other people in our church. And Lord, for that nation, where there's been rioting, where there's so much unrest, where there will be subsequent problems with employment and even with obtaining food for many people, Lord, we pray your intervention. We pray an end to the hostility, to the rioting. We pray for change of heart amongst people. And we pray for practical action, Lord, to meet the needs that are there, to meet the needs for food, to meet medical needs, to meet needs for housing and employment. Lord, we hold all our brothers and our sisters there in our hearts now, and we ask you again, Lord, to move powerfully amongst them, to raise up your people to meet all the various needs that now exist, Lord, and to bring good things from this really terrible situation. Lord, so we leave this now in your hands. Be there and move and bless through your people in only the ways that you can, Lord. Through Jesus' name, we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, we certainly stand with all our brothers and sisters there in South Africa. Now, we will be having our talk in just a moment, which is entitled The Journey of Faith. It's based on Psalm 23. So, we should read from Psalm 23. Together. I'm sure you will know this psalm. If you know any part of the Bible, you are likely to know this. Well, let's read it together. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, amen to that. Okay. Well, who would like to talk about football this morning? You may not want to talk about it, perhaps because you're just not interested at all in football, or maybe because it's still a bit painful from last week, another defeat, the hope of glory gone again. Unless, of course, you're Italian, and congratulations if you are. Well, I don't really want to talk about the football, although the English team did brilliantly. I'm sure that we can all agree together on that. But I want to talk about what has happened since. And I want to talk about the nature of relationship with God, of provision and blessing, of the birth or the nurturing of attitude that says, I trust God even in the most difficult times. Okay. Where the psalmist has made this profound statement of faith that we call Psalm 23. That God leads him into good places. Green pastures by quiet waters, restoring his soul. And for good reason, for God's name's sake. Leading the psalmist in right paths, in right behavior, in right attitude. Because as someone who follows God, he represents God to the world. God's holy name displayed through the lives of his people. And not only that, because wouldn't life be easy if it were all green pastures and quiet waters? Even when the psalmist walks through the darkest valley, he will fear no evil, because God is with him, with rod and staff, providing assurance. Just notice at this point how the psalmist has turned to talk directly to God. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, he says. There's an intimate relationship on display in those words. An intimate relationship that flourishes even though difficult times come. Where at the time of King David, shepherds would have travelled for days, taking their sheep to known pastures and watering holes, passing through dangerous places to get there. Dark valleys with wild animals, with their staff for hooking and guiding the sheep, and their rod, a kind of club, for fending off wild beasts. Always facing the possibility of attack as well from people from other tribes. Yet the psalmist proclaims his faith in God, this deep faith. And not only abstract faith that one day he will be in heaven somewhere or in the future live with God forever. Not only that, but also that God blesses him there and then in that time, even in the darkest valley and even in the presence of hostility. It is a profound statement, as well as it is incredible poetry. There's no surprise that it is one of the best known pieces of scripture. It is brilliant, isn't it? God walks with us, provides for and blesses us, even in the darkest valley or amidst hostility. But what does that actually look like? Well, let's talk about the football for a moment. All right, speaking of darkest valleys to traverse, why do we inflict penalty shootouts on ourselves? I don't know. I guess we have to, don't we? But I don't mean to talk about the football itself, but this situation that surrounds it. We have three young men, brilliant young men. Marcus Rashford, Bukayo Saka. His Instagram account is called God's Child, by the way. And Jadon Sancho. All three of them missed penalties in that penalty shootout at the end. Saka said that he knew as soon as he had missed the abuse he would receive. He knew. They all knew. All three received racist abuse following that defeat. Also, There's Raheem Sterling in the team. He didn't miss a penalty. But all of them, all these young black footballers, received racist abuse, and they received that kind of abuse often. Also, a mural of Rashford that I put up to acknowledge his charity work and campaigning for meals for school children. We all remember that, where he shifted government policy. That was also defaced. A really nasty end to that Euros campaign that was going so well. Or it would have been a nasty end. But there's been a significant response, hasn't there, to that bad behaviour. So what does the reality painted in Psalm 23 look like in our concrete world? Well, the kingdom of God, Jesus said, this is in Luke 17, verse 21, the kingdom of God is in our midst, or amongst us, or within us. Come to God daily to be transformed by him, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. That's what our journey with God is all about. Have your mind renewed so that we become like him. In Romans 12, Paul then goes on to talk about what that might look like. And at the end, in this Romans 12, verse 21, he seems to sum all the things up. He says by saying, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, by anger, by jealousy, by pride, by selfishness, by greed, by vengefulness. Even perhaps if you have a reason for it, don't be overcome by those things. Yeah, even when you've been wronged, don't you then become part of the story of those things. Instead, overcome evil with good. Bring God's kingdom into being in the midst of those things, in the midst of us. Isn't that the story that flows from the cross? That place where love and selflessness ruled amidst a hate-filled and selfish world, where God the Son embodied and lived out those most challenging words we find in Scripture. Well, what was the response these last few days to that racist abuse that was aimed at Rashford and Saka and Sancho and also at Sterling? There has been a huge outpouring of support. Hundreds of messages were left on the mural to Rashford that was defaced, covering over the defacing at first that's now been repaired. Hundreds of messages of love and support. Many millions of messages on every social media platform. Sancho said in a post that he made that hate will never win. Well, what does it look like? What does it look like when God blesses you, like the psalmist is talking about? When he makes you to lie down in green pastures, leads you beside quiet waters, restores your soul. What does it look like? How exactly does he anoint your head with oil? Hey, what does it look like to walk through the darkest valley? You know, we're not Iron Age shepherds in the eastern Mediterranean region, walking for days through dangerous terrain to find pasture and water for our sheep. Nor are we familiar with that world, or as familiar as the original readers of this psalm would be. What does a feast prepared before us by God in the presence of hostility look like? What does that look like? Well, maybe Marcus Rashford gives us his answer to that question when he says that he was overwhelmed, thankful, and lost for words by the support that he received in the midst of that situation. By the hundreds of messages of love and support covering his defaced mural and covering the hate. Of course, the Apostle Paul and Jesus himself both have challenged us to even go as far as loving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us, blessing those who curse us. Bless and not curse, Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Instead of becoming part of all that nonsense, the negativity and the animosity, bring God's kingdom into being in our midst. This incredible psalm of faith and of trust in God, of blessings and protection, enjoyed by this incredible poet who has given it to us. When we look deeply enough and when we focus it through the lens of God's kingdom, we see that it is about the people we become and the world that we then build as we walk with God and are shaped by Him. That's the journey of faith that I wanted to talk to you about this morning. Yes, we trust God, we trust Him in many ways and beyond our understanding. We receive from Him. We are refreshed and restored by His Spirit every time we come to Him. And His peace given to us can transcend our circumstances. But on that journey, our goal, the goal of the kingdom, the building of the kingdom, is that we should become a blessing to one another. That in this world we are overcoming evil with good, with real and with concrete actions of love, just like we've seen in this last week. Actions that will cause other people to say, because of what you have done, God has blessed me. Well, how are you going to do that? We certainly all can. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you again this morning in prayer, reflecting on Psalm 23, having prayed already for peace and for change and for transformation, for your kingdom to bring change in South Africa. We come now bringing each of our lives to you. And Lord, I'm reminded of a book I was reading this week about a young man growing up in care and the very difficult time he had, but of the blessings that he received from certain people who came into his life. The social worker who supported him. The person who had set up a group for other black people in care who came and who opened doors for him into communities of like-minded people. Of the other people from the local authority that supported him in practical ways to help him build a new home. Lord, for each one of us, for each role that we play in the world, for each job that we have, each relationship that we maintain, how can we serve you in that, Lord? How can we bless people? How can we do things that will then cause people to say, God has blessed me. That will cause them to say, I trust God because of him and because of what his people have done for me. Lord, we want to be your servants. We want to walk in right paths for your name's sake, so that your name can be seen and be proclaimed by people as they come to know you through the work of your community. So Lord, speak to each and every one of us, we pray. Show us how we can serve you in our own lives, in our own jobs, in all of our relationships. Lord, it's such a blessing to us when we can do things for you. So lead us in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, it's been good to spend time with you again this morning. Now, why don't we close? Yes, we will, with this most traditional blessing from way back in Numbers chapter 6, verse 20, Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Well, we pray that blessing for you. We pray that blessing for South Africa, where we've prayed already this morning. May God be with you this week, and we will see you again next week. Goodbye.